Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but God has prepared for those who love him. But we can get some idea from the scriptures. And I've always been very interested in astronomy. When I was in elementary school, I read every book that there was. And compared to those days, we knew almost nothing about the planets or the stars. So much has been learned. I noticed that there's a probe that is we're getting ready to launch. This is something the U.S. does best of all the countries in the world at the moment. It's the size of a Hummer, and it's going to be hopefully roping around Mars and looking for some kind of life. And there's a telescope, I think it's in orbit, I'm not sure, and it's found at least 1,250 new planets. It wasn't that long ago that we wondered if there were any planets. And again, the search is for life, isn't it? Looking for those other Earths. Is it possible that there is other intelligence in the universe? Scientists are on both sides of the debate. I read a lot of books on this subject from eminent scientists argue both positions, that either the conditions that created the planet Earth are so unique, these are not just religious people, that life must be very rare, higher forms, or it's very abundant. Depends on who you listen to. But the fact is that those of us who read the Bible know that there is other intelligent life that is not like us. It's called the angels. They move from one universe to another at the speed of thought. They are non-corporeal. They don't have bodies. They are pure spirits. And they are probably with us right now. But we cannot see them because we're still in the midst of life. But we are about to enter that world that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, that God has prepared for those who love him. But he wants to prepare us to enter into life by means of following the commandments. It is very interesting that the part that really struck me, I normally preach about purgatory when this reading comes up because it's so clearly defined. Christ talks about heaven, hell, and purgatory in this vast reading we heard. But what struck me was a line that said, those who obey and teach others to follow my commandments will be greatest in heaven. Those who disobey and thus teach others will be least. This is a comforting reading in one way, and that is that not all sins are deadly, that some people in their disobedience, what they're really doing, not that they're going to go to hell, but that they are losing the graces that were meant for them in heaven as they continue to live a life displeasing to God. God has a perfect plan for us and a place for us in heaven and a mission on earth, but it's up to us to say yes to it. If we say no, God will respect our free will. We're all teachers by what we say and what we do, not just priests, nuns, and brothers and educators that God is talking to here. We're all teaching by our example. I went up on Friday to do a mass for the Marian Center for Peace. It's a little group up there that up in Portland that plugs various Marian apparitions, and I said their opening mass many years ago there, and I went there to be with them and do mass for them. And the traffic going up was very heavy Friday night, and on the way home it was rather light. And I'm driving on Interstate 5, and I'm in the center lane, going just about the speed limit. And I happened to notice that there was a car that was tailgating in the fast lane. You know, we've all seen this sort of thing. And then zipping from one lane to the other without using a signal and cutting people off. I don't know what the hurry was. I was hoping a policeman was somewhere nearby, you know. And I watched this, and I was praying about my homily. I learned to drive in L.A., and you know, if you go down to L.A., and probably two-thirds of the drivers do this. You go to New York, and it's even worse. You come here, and people are much more courteous. Why is that? Because we learn from each other. And if you do see a driver like that up here, usually they're from Washington. Just kidding. or LA, I always think this is somebody not from this area, or they've recently moved here. Because we kind of teach each other by modeling good behavior and bad behavior. And this is what our Lord is talking about. If I find myself in a situation at work or at school and people are bad-mouthing somebody else, what do? I don't necessarily have to call them on it, but I am called to not participate, at least to keep silent. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. That is to be both a teacher and an obeyer. If, on the other hand, I get into digging into somebody, whether they deserve it or not, that's disobedient to God, and it sets a bad example. On the other hand, when I come to church, I have set an example to others. It shows that my being here is important. I have helped educate my neighbor. Some of us went to the benefit breakfast 2 weeks ago, and that showed that I care about somebody. I was both one who obeys God by being kind to my neighbor and a teacher. And one thing we learn from the angels, and why I brought that up at the beginning of my homily, is that the angels, we know from Scripture, have ranks. There are at least 12 choirs of angels, and some are very close to the throne of God, and others are further away, and all of them are fulfilling the will of God, but they're not all equal. Some have more glory than others. And it's going to be the same way with us. We are going to have ranks in heaven. And this life, it's a little scary to think about it, every decision I make is affecting my place in the next world. It is true, we get to heaven only by faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing I do can get me to heaven. Only faith in Christ. But my place in heaven is determined by the will of God and how I respond to it, how I teach others, and how I live. And the third piece, which our Lord makes very clear, is how I forgive. God, fortunately, or unfortunately, we develop any number of people that either we've hurt or have hurt us. And our Lord is talking about, he says, when you come before the altar, he's talking about the altar in Jerusalem to offer your sacrifice, and it applies to our altar as well. He says, we come bringing our gifts of bread and wine. We come with ourselves. We come with our tithe. We give an hour to God, and he says, if you come before my altar to receive my communion and you find that you have not settled an issue with your neighbor, that your neighbor has something against you, go and make peace with your neighbor. What that means is that we should be praying for the person that's hurt us or asking forgiveness or something. Be quick about settling your issue while you're on this side of the court. Otherwise, you're liable to be handed over to the judge who will throw you into prison. You will not get out till you pay the last penny. In other words, settle your issues now, because later the price will be much higher. This is the time of mercy. This is the time to go to reconciliation. This is the time to be reconciled to our neighbor. Where do we fulfill that at every Mass? Don't speak all at once. Something that happens right before the Eucharist, the sign of peace. The sign of peace comes from this reading. We symbolically turn to our neighbor who represents the person I need to forgive or who needs to forgive me, and we give them the peace of Christ. That's the whole point of putting it there. It may move someday, but that's why it is where it is. So our Lord invites us then to think about the eternal things, to think about the choices that we make, because they are of such vital importance to us. We just lack imagination as to what is the world that we are about to enter. The one thing we learn from Scripture very clearly is that everything is known. This week we had a daily Mass. We had the readings about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created, and they were naked, and they weren't ashamed. This was in the before the fall, and as soon as they both ate a piece of the apple or whatever it was, they were afraid because they were naked, and they clothed themselves. This is not about clothing. It's about the fact that God could see right through them, and they wanted to hide their disobedience from God. And in heaven, God will see right through us. And you know what? So will everyone else. So if there's something false in my life, it's going to be shown. This is why I should be repenting on a regular basis and going to reconciliation. And in fact, the Lord is going to give us a movie of our life called The Last Judgment. And everything will be there, and all of our relatives are going to know everything about us. And they love us anyway. It's not always true here. And so our Lord reveals all these things to us in faith so that we can prepare. And he shows us why he allows things to happen in our lives. So as we approach the altar of God and prepare to receive the Eucharist, we ask God that we might be both people who are striving to obey God and, by my example, teaching others, and not one who strives to do only my will and teaching others to disobey, because my entire future in the world to come depends on my response today.